June 21st, the second day of summer, this 2016. And this is Inside Out, the naked truth. And we are here in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, broadcasting from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
And I'm Errol Strider.
And I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with some laughter, good music, and always a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw. Makes authentic, just the purest kind of food you can have to nourish your body. I like to think of Go Raw as nutritious and delicious. And our other sponsor is
Universe Spirit, awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
That makes sense. Or does it? Well, you can decide for yourself tonight, because our featured phrase of the week is, that makes sense. If you're paying attention, there's a lot that really does not make sense. Like, how we're allowing our democracy to be sold out. How can there be a loving creator in so much suffering? How we stumble along making stupid, repetitive mistakes in spite of our best intentions. Grace. Does any of that make any sense? What does make sense? Logic, geometry, the movement of the tides, babies, our capacity to grow, change, and be creative? Maybe. Tonight, we're going to see if we can get to some real sense makers, the ones that really make sense. And while we're at it, we'll heat up the program with some cinch you old music. And of course, laughing at the absurdities of life. Well, that surely makes sense. The absurdities of life.
That makes sense.
And of course, our usual nonsensical delight and characters. While we're looking for this, let's see if we can drop into and examine this whole thing and see if there's some good sense in any of it. Or any sense.
I was playing with it for just a few seconds, and so I have something real short. What makes sense? Nonsense is far more appealing. At least there's laughter in that. Sense can be so serious sometimes. Yet, better to make some sense so we can communicate through the mind. But a nonsensical mind. That makes sense.
That's good. I love that, a nonsensical mind. In many ways, it's almost more fun to make nonsense of it.
I think so.
All right. Let's go for the nonsense of it then tonight. Let's really see if we can find some really nonsensical things. Here's something that I think is nonsensical. We think we can maintain freedom and sacrifice unity as a culture.
That is no sense at all.
Does that make sense?
That's not just nonsense. That's no sense.
No sense. Is it like a precursor to nonsense? First you go to no sense. That's interesting. Makes no sense.
But it's not nonsense.
Nonsense. All right, we've been screwing around here for long enough. Let's get into what it means to make sense. It's like meaning. Somehow things fit. There's a coming together of concept, idea, image, picture, perception, and they're being communicated to someone else who runs it through their sense-making mechanism. They can actually come up with some degree of understanding, and they go, wow, okay, that fits in my logic matrix scheme of how things are and should show up. Amen.
And if it doesn't do those things,
that makes
then it
sense.
Makes no sense, which is not the same as nonsense.
Ah. That makes sense.
It does make sense.
You know who has a wonderful way of seeing if we could make some sense out of it? I want to just kick it off tonight with this little piece by Cheryl Wheeler. Cheryl, take it away.
While we're repealing those gun laws, let's repeal those murder laws too. We don't want some government red tape telling us what to do. The jails are full, there is no doubt. We don't want to let one of those drug fiends out. And if those illegal aliens are killing each other now and then, it's cheaper than educating them, and it makes good sense to me. PC liberals tired of the fuss they've made. Every time some family man's just called a spade. Clutter our TVs, clutter our courts. Every time some dame gets a poke in the shorts, I'll be damned if I'll do my job for a faggot or some foreign slob. They can find some Democrat to rob. It makes good sense to me. Arts endowments, waste of my hard-earned loot. Adios, NPR, howdy, Jesse and Newt. Some pretty little lady gets herself knocked up real good. She'll have to have that baby just because we think she should. In whose sick mind did it ever occur that a choice like that should be up to her? They're a godless bunch, cross we bear. But as soon as that little tyke draws air, we can wash our hands of the whole affair. Makes good sense to me. Our contract here is well defined. We can leave this bullshit far behind with a stingy hand and a narrow mind. Makes good sense, makes good sense, makes good sense to me.
Cheryl Wheeler, makes good sense.
Not to me, Cheryl Wheeler. That song attacked my sensibilities.
That makes so much sense, that your sensibilities. Is that like your sense abilities or your sense abilities?
It attacked it.
In what way?
I found it harsh and went against what I believe.
We like to present different points of view in our show, so nobody can say that we're not open-minded. Remember that song and the quality of it, because we're going to come back to Cheryl a little later. I was thinking today, Rochelle, and maybe you can respond to this. I looked at the card we made up for this show. There's the title. But I realized that doesn't tell anybody anything, because they never heard of it, and they would know what it means if they had heard of it. And who's listening? So I realized that we need to come up with a hook. What is it that I want you to recognize when you consider listening to this show? So I thought of one possible hook, and maybe we can do a little riff on this. How to live the good life, an integral point of view. See, it's all inadequate.
Because the truth is that your mind, and perhaps my mind too, though less than your mind, is very full of ideas.
Yes. Idea man, sir.
Yes. And so what is like most people, ideas are alien. They're kind of foreign. Ideas. Think about something. Think deeply about it. Have an opinion about it that comes out of a certain gestation where you really ponder something and look at it, and rather than just an idea that's against or for, which is shallow. It doesn't go deep enough. You delve into it very much. You are not the person who can look at what you do and give it sense. That should make sense to you. You're too involved in it through your mind.
Hi, this is Bonnie, and I wanted to respond to that thing there. What makes sense here? I could hear someone say about any of that stuff that you all talk about. It makes no sense, this thing about ideas. The people I know, they'd say, ideas are cheap, lady. Anybody can put out an idea.
I think opinions are cheap, Barney, but ideas are different.
I tried to say that to them. I wish you'd been there with those very words. But I didn't think of that quickly enough. But I will go back there and quote you and say, no, opinions. What's the difference, baby doll?
Opinion is what you think about something. It's very subjective. Opinions, where an idea is not necessarily subjective. An idea can be extraordinarily objective. Something you look at, examine, make a hypothesis about, come to a conclusion. That's an idea.
Opinions is like you've come to a judgment.
Yes. Opinions have a great deal of judgment built into them.
You can almost take any opinion that anybody might have. Like someone might have an opinion that the Muslims should be shut out of this country.
Like somebody named Trump.
That's an opinion that comes out of appraisal based upon some very strong biases. Those are the people I understand we need to be wary of as our leaders, people with strong discriminating biases. That's been done in history before, and we don't really want to repeat it. I'm starting to get wound up here. Senator Beauregard, could you come in here? I know this.
What happened to Barney? He was here 2 seconds and he left.
I'm here. I'm listening. I want to hear what the senator has to say because he always says something I never thought of before. But it makes sense to me, the things that he says. Barney, I'm glad I'm able to speak to a fellow like you, and the two of us can have maybe a little parlay and understand what makes sense. You asked the question, what makes sense for this country? Well, what makes sense to educate ourselves to a higher, more expanded, wiser level of consciousness. That makes sense. Do you not agree, Cupcake?
Oh, you're talking to me? Cupcake? I beg your pardon, Senator Beauregard. I think that's a little sexist, calling me Cupcake.
Now, why is that sexist? What does that have to do with you? You call me Cupcake, and I wouldn't say that's sexist. Try it.
You're not a cupcake.
Oh. There's
because
that.
Because there are certain words that people use for women that are food-oriented. It means something you want to munch on, eat. And that's what makes it sexist.
I stand incorrected. By golly.
Like you call someone a tomato, a cupcake, a muffin.
How about a pancake then? It's not quite as sweet.
But I can call you a hot dog.
Okay, so be it. Thank you, Senator. You are now hence being called a hot dog. As long as it tastes good, the national kosher hot dogs, I'll be fine.
Two silly people here tonight. Nonsensical.
We're very nonsensical. What does it take for something to make sense? What layers or steps will it have had to go through from some beginning point where it evolves from having an idea that something could make sense?
Well, like if you said, when it's really hot, you will probably need to drink a lot of water, I say to somebody. And she would say, oh, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
You know, because you understand that that's a reality. So maybe that which is a reality in the material world makes sense because you can prove it in a way.
What it brings to mind, I haven't thought of this, is so exciting, is that it involves cause and effect. And I wonder if it always involves cause and effect in relationship to each other. Remember Cause? I love Cause. He was like so fabulous. Effect, not so much effect. He was like a little bit of a put-off.
Cause and Effect was a vaudeville team
and effect
in the 1922. They did very well, but nobody understood them.
Especially when they reversed roles. That was really messed with people's heads. You know, Effect would go first. He would say something like, we have a very discombobulated world. That would be the effect, but the cause of that would be because we gave our power to an opinion.
It makes sense, but is it true?
Is what true?
What you just said. By adding that caveat.
Well, now, see, she's doubling down. First it was make sense, and that wasn't enough for her. No, Miss Strider, who on once more, is it true? So we've just added makes sense and is it true?
So now does everything that makes sense have to be true?
I'm trying to think of another metaphor. I can't use pancake.
Don't you dare.
Okay. This is Inside Out. We're brought to you by Go Raw, Nutritious and Delicious. Go Raw, you can get it Safeway and Costco, Organics. You ordered organic. That means it's made of carbon atoms that get along in a particular way.
I'm glad they get along. Because if they didn't, there would be an eruption. Disruption.
From what I understand, the origins of the word organic wasn't the way we think of it now, like naturally made or whatever. It had more to do with it was an association of carbons meeting once every split second in some capacity. And these association of carbons.
They had meetings. That's when meetings started.
That's the thing that we're talking about.
That makes sense.
Carbons make up food that is organic. You check and see how many carbons there are. When you look at labels, look for the number of carbons.
You won't find it.
But they'll think you're very astute.
Especially go up to the salespeople and ask them how many carbons right. are in this particular piece of bread.
I can see you holding up the thing. Could you see that? By the way, what are those lines that are going, you know, those short, long? What is that one?
Are those the carbons?
That makes sense. You know those lines that they have on the products?
Right. Those are the carbons. How many carbons are in that product?
And notice some of those little black carbons are bigger than others.
And they can slide them through machines.
Those are the ones you got to watch out for, those big ones there. And matter of fact, you could take a pen and just get squish it out. Squish it. What do you think? Now, let me invite Rabbi in because...
because we're being nonsensical?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is Rabbi Greenberg. A little nonsensical is okay, but enough. Well, there's a certain point when enough is enough, and the wise person knows when that point is there.
Oh, well, that lets me out.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, I can see you not in it. I can see you out of it because that would be who you are. That's your nature, Rochelle, because you have this very inquisitive, curious nature. You should have been gentle. You could have been Yentala because you're like her. You would have studied the Talmud and all of that. Had you been in another life situation, that you'd been singing on the boat, Father, Father, yeah, that would have been you.
I can't sing. So we scrap that. Doesn't make any sense.
You have to tell the story.
Oh, I do have to tell the story.
Now that we've brought it up, this is a great story. It so fits with what we were just discussing.
I knew this director who has become, if he's still alive, a very well-known acting teacher in L.A. At the time, he was a director, and he was directing Funny Girl
on the Roadshow.
And we had the same manager, or my manager knew him, I'm not sure, but he said he wanted me to play the part. And I said to him, well, that's very nice, but I don't sing. He said, no. Don't worry about it. You're just wonderful. You're perfect for the part. And I said, but Milton, I don't sing. He said, okay. So I go to this personal audition for him. They play some music and he asks me to sing. And then he says, you're right. You don't sing. But it saved us all a lot of time. If you believe me.
That makes so much sense.
I don't know why I don't sing. I don't have an ear for singing. I have an ear for voices. I have an ear for accents. But I don't have an ear for music, which is sad because I love music. And
but
I
it wasn't always
it.
That way. When I first met her, she had an extra music ear. She was good at it, too. I could see that ear just kind of flop open, and the music would come in and would just jangle the synapses in her mind matrix thing that responds
That's
to music.
That's nonsensical.
That makes total sense.
It was a please.
I beg your pardon.
One does not have an extra ear. See, that's not true.
Uh-huh.
So it can't make sense.
Well, there's all different kinds of ways to make sense. Here's another perspective by a group called The Mostest.
The Mostest. Not too far from Troncones, the sun shines and the kids play. Waves massage my pain. Soothe my soul, cool my brain. If I sing,
swim. Neither one of us win. This is where we begin to make it all make sense again. Make sense again. Make it all make sense again. Take me way back when you and me, we were friends. Make it all make sense again. Make sense again. Make sense again. Just a little ways away, up the beach and past the break. Shots ring out and the neighbors pray. Mexico, not so safe these days. Remind me, my friend, what was it like before we sinned? This is where again. Take me way back when you and me, we were friends. Make it all make sense again. Make sense again. Make sense again.
That was Make Sense Again, and the group was The Mostest. I love that. But you know what occurred to me during that song? Things make sense when they fit.
Ah.
What do you think? When they fit, like a puzzle, and when it fits, when the edges of the parts of it that are coming together kind of fit in a way that one's like a protruding part and the other's a receptive part. And when the protruding part and the receptive part co-engage, then that's like a fit. That makes sense.
And it fits in your mind. The pieces come together and, that's when it makes sense. Otherwise, they're scattered all over the place and they don't make any sense at all because they're scattered. But when they come into fitting, like you said, that's when it makes sense.
I think I just lost you, Rochelle.
When I don't understand something, it doesn't make sense. So therefore, would it be true to say when I do understand something, it makes sense?
If I may interrupt here, this is Professor Schnitzel. If it doesn't hook up, I like that word, hooking up in the brain, because inside the brain there are synapses, and they are like a race of beings, synapses. And they have like millions of synapses. They are a much stronger race of beings than human beings. They just live under the human brain, but they're actually of their own civilization. That's who it should be. The synapses. They have a government, or they have playgrounds.
Professor Schnitzel,
yeah.
You've been around Errol too long.
No, they have the synapses, or they have conventions where all the synapses get together and they discuss.
This is a perfect example of nonsense, but I am enjoying it, so don't stop.
Let me just say one more thing about synapses. People don't know this, but they take vacations. Yeah, each synapse gets like a vacation a month once a year. And during that time, that synapse is not working. So if you are noticing there are certain times of the life and of your year when nothing makes sense, it's because the makes sense synapse was having his vacation. That makes sense.
But what was fun, Professor, that you did a wonderful demonstration of nonsense.
No, I didn't think it was nonsense. I thought it made total sense.
But that's because you're nonsensical. If a nonsensical person grasps an idea as making sense, is that possible? Nonsense makes sense. Is it still nonsense? That's left you speechless.
I saw it as a horse and a rider, the sense and the nonsense. The non is sitting on top. Sense is kind of neutral, but non is the rider, and it gets up on that horse sometimes and makes it go where it wants to go, which is into the nonsensical land of disorientation. That's what they call it. You enter that land and you're immediately disoriented.
I think that's what nonsense does. It's very disorienting if you want it to make sense. But if you don't care whether it makes sense or not, nonsense can be fun.
And then there's how much do you need it to make sense? If I've created an arbitrary belief system about how the universe works or is supposed to work or any of that, and I'm depending on it, counting on it, and it isn't operating that way, I want to say it doesn't make sense because it really hurts. When the universe bumps up jagged and sharp against you, and when you reach out, it feels like the pricking of your sensibilities. That's when you hope you've got the good synapse, the one who takes care of that, working that month.
Okay. You won't let go of the synapses.
Well, let's put it to rest.
You've been overcome with synapse.
This is no joke.
Synapsism.
Synapsism.
That you've been overcome with synapsism.
I love it. I have synapses. It's when a cyst grows on your synapses.
Oh my God, we're never going to get this off. It's totally crazy.
But we're looking at the human condition, and my goal here in doing this program is to unfold a variety of possibilities in perceptions and ways of interacting with life more effectively and successfully and getting more joy, love, and laughter out of it.
It makes sense.
But is it true?
Is it true? That's right. The joy of sitting down and having a conversation with you is like at least once a week for 1 hour, we really talk to each other. In a marriage of 40 years, what could be better?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. There was an article in Time magazine, just the last feature article about longevity of marriage. Have you read it? What did it say? Let us know. You can reach us anytime at estrider@gmail.com. That is my personal email box. estrider@gmail.com. Our website, thelaughingheart.org, where we feature all kinds of creative products and sayings and videos and a host of things that we've developed.
And from the past.
And a good part of the past it was, let me just say.
Yes, we were younger and thinner, but we're older and wiser now. Now that makes sense.
Father O'Malley, what do you think? Oh, yeah, when you referenced that part of your life, which was the past. I ask people when they say, well, Father, this happened in the past, and this happened in the past, and this is why I'm doing this thing that I'm doing, etc. These are why I have the justifications for doing the thing that I think I'm doing, even though I know I shouldn't be doing it. And so I ask them, when they're talking about their past, where is it now?
Their the past. The past is never there when you want it. Because you're always in the now.
That is grand, darling. The past is never there when you want it, because you're always in the now. Well, that makes sense. Well, there you have it. You can skip the hard steps and just cut right to the simple step. I think that's why our great teacher, Yeshua ben Yosef, why he said that it's just easy. He says, my yoke is easy there, really. People think his yoke. What does that mean? That means you're kind of connected with him, and you're walking down the trail together, and you're pulling a cart full of human stuff. That's what they're doing.
And we got stuff, us humans. My God, we got stuff.
But I found when I yoke to Yeshua, when I yoke to the spirit of truth that pervades all reality, because that's what I'm connecting with, whatever name you put on it. It's the spirit of truth. There's the truth like you were talking. Is it true? There's the truth in court, and those are certain truths. Then there's the spirit of truth. That's another dimension there. it'll behoove people to start getting in touch with. I think that's his primary function. Yeshua, his primary function was to introduce us. You know, like we're at a party. Here you are. Here's the spirit of truth. I think you like each other.
I think we definitely like each other. I like to connect with that within me, the spirit of truth which abides within all of us. When I connect with that, it's so peaceful because it's love. The spirit of truth is love, and it fills me with joy, a sense of wanting to become more than I am, become creative, you know, use my faculties, everything that's given to me, my talents, to speak forth, to give forth joy.
Darling, never fear. Let me tell you, as your rabbi, you will always speak forth your point of view, and you will do it in such a cute way with those little eyelashes batting like that. You're always looking up to people because you're so short. No judgment. But so they always feel bigger and greater, so you make people just feel big and strong just by standing next to them. What was he saying there? They usually let you in front of the line when you're watching a parade.
That's true, Father O'Malley. The first time I realized that, I was really little, itty-bitty little girl. But it was very easy to say, excuse me, and people just parted like the Red Sea. Okay, little one, go right ahead. And as I got older, but not much bigger, I was able to do the same thing. And that makes sense.
She's my little Thumbelina, Rochelle.
You want to hear a funny story? Did I tell you that story with Dan?
I don't know. Tell the story.
Oh. In the last number of years, I have lost 2 inches of my height. And I was joking with this man who's always making fun of my height.
One of our co-workers.
But in a very innocent, loving way. He's not putting me down. Well, that's what you call it. Putting me down. Joke.
Oh. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Pun. Isn't that a pun?
That makes sense, too.
Yes, that makes sense. Okay. So I told him I was losing height. And that in probably in a few years, I would just be about as big as Thumbelina. And Errol would put me in his pocket and be able to walk around with me. And he said, God, don't let Errol put you in his pocket because he will forget you're there. And that'll be the end of it. Because Errol has a reputation of losing things, of forgetting where he put them.
Leaving them. But it's a reputation that I believe is justly deserved.
That's true. You've worked hard at it.
That's where the fitting is, the making sense. Why they're all just a little bit nervous of Errol here. Would you say, Professor, I mean, you're seeing the trip. Oh, yes, I've watched them when I've come here to take advantage of the facilities, and I see people look at you, and they don't have the slightest idea of what you are, who you are. They're not even sure you're from this planet. Oh, yes, you're quite the standout, standover, and sometimes even the stand-up sort of guy. But it takes a little getting beyond. So that's why.
Someone once asked me what I did. For the first time when they asked that, I said I was a spiritual philosopher. Nothing that I'd ever said about myself felt as congruent as that. I could express it as an actor, I could express it as a writer, but that's what I was, because philosophy is about how we live, and to live our spirituality is what I care about more than anything else. People always say,
which,
you know,
people?
Like, them, those people.
This is the aggregate. When she says those people, she's referring to the aggregate of all humanity.
We speak about spirituality a lot, but they speak about it. I'm more interested in how we live it. How do you have somebody say something to you that is like a put down and embrace it at the same time? And not react to it. That's living spirituality. You can't pretend it. It has to be real. So you're constantly looking for that reality.
Like today, I got yelled at for doing something that this person thought was wrong. Not just told, but yelled at. I could feel that impulse within me to defend myself. You know what? I'm not going to get some either beat the crap out of them or flee. And then I just thought, you know, I just said, okay. And that was that. I don't have to resist it. What I've learned about myself is that I would have resisted it when I get further and further away from myself.
I can see a place where I came from. I can hear those sounds right now. I can find the path I used to run and believe I still know how. Then I shake my head, clearing my vision. I keep those scenes at bay. And I can see the place where I came from, slipping further and further away. I can feel the way I used to feel when the world was small and green, and you sang a song of soft appeal, and I curled into my dream. Then I shake my head, clearing my vision. I keep those scenes at bay. And I can feel the way I used to feel, slipping further and further away.
That was called Further and Further Away, and it was by the same young lady who sang that song about the government and all that, Cheryl Wheeler. That was such a beautiful, soulful song. Talk about getting two sides of an artist, called Further and Further Away. I recommend you go to YouTube and really listen to the whole thing and think about it. It's the kind of song that I select when I look for music for the show, is songs that make you feel into the idea that are expressed by the words. The integration of the two, I felt like that song was very integrated in terms of what she spoke of and her feeling toward it, and the music was able to convey it. I thought it was a beautiful arrangement.
Simple. That makes sense.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here. Rochelle Strider said something I said makes sense.
Yes. You're a man who usually makes sense.
In other words, the things that I say work for you. They fit into your matrix or the little puzzle equation of your life.
You're a person who I believe cares about the truth. When you speak nonsense, of course, that's different. But when you're making sense, you speaking the truth. I would say that most of my life with you, you have spoken the truth. Your truth.
My truth.
Yeah. It's an integration. You're integral.
That's why I think of our program as an integral, truly an integral approach.
My husband, I must confess to everybody here, has such a need to understand what he's doing all the time.
I do. What am I doing?
What am I doing? What am I saying? Why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? That's just his nature. Let's say this is a horse running a race, and he feels it will do better if he changes the name of the horse. He keeps changing the name of the horse and understanding why he named it and rationalizes why he named the horse what he does and thinks that the horse will be different.
He'll get up and run and win.
Which makes no
sense. Come on, horsey.
At all.
How many different names have we had for our business organization? Well, let's call it Creative Spirit. That was our first name. And then we had like Creative Dynamics. And we did.
No, we never had Creative Dynamics. I never heard that.
Yeah, we did. That was the company. I forgot. It was like three companies ago.
No, we never had Creative Dynamics.
Yes.
No, that was somebody else.
I remember it well.
You were 16. I was in green.
Okay. Be that as it may, we're trying to see what makes sense of it. Okay, let me ask you this. I'm going to ask our listeners this. If you had to, like, do a proportion, what percentage of your life makes sense? Like, if it's like 30%, 40%, 100%? What percentage of your life would you say really doesn't make sense?
That's a very interesting question. Boy, I didn't come out way at the bottom.
Really? Mostly it doesn't make sense.
Some days I think, why am I doing this? It doesn't make any sense at all in terms of who I am and what I'm about. And yet I'm doing it for somebody else and it makes sense to them and I want to help them out. And so that makes sense.
What I've discovered, and I want to give such thanks to the powers that be and the powers that were and the powers that will be, because I have learned to find the reward in exactly what I'm doing, not in using it as a step to getting to the reward.
That makes sense, and that's a very wonderfully grown-up thing to have happen to you. My God, that's a mature thing.
Really?
Yes, spiritually mature.
But I got that insight like 30 years ago when I was coming up with these insights, these phrases, and I think the way I worded it at the time was something about make the moment that you're in rewarding rather than waiting for the moment that's going to be your reward.
Oh, I know that.
It was much better worded.
Yes, much better
worded. But I was younger and I had a better mind.
No, but you have it written down, the originals. You said once, love this metaphor, that the mind is like a scout in a wagon train. The mind is unfettered by the wagon train. The scout can just go out there and explore different territories. But he has to come back to the wagon train, which is our physical, emotional body, and get us to the place that he has seen. There's this spiritual reality, and the mind can grasp it at times, and then it comes back to us and asks us to come and be it, to live it. You're starting to live that which you know to be true.
That's what I realized. It took about 30 years for it to sink in. I got all these great insights, but until these ideas work their way into your, synapses and all the cells of your body, and it's at that point that I realize the reward is in what you're doing. One of my favorite things I do now is the laundry, and I hang the sheets, and it's like, it's amazing how wonderful it is to do that.
Become a Zen artist.
Well, lest we take any of it too seriously, you were talking about religion. Here's the song.
Janie's mom said God's a woman. That's not true, right?
Well, honey, different religions believe different things. Let's see which one makes sense to you.
Catholics believe the Pope is magic when he sits in his fancy chair. They eat God's body once a week. It tastes like paper, but they don't care. Don't stay late at church or you might end up with a priest in a dark room. Jesus wants your donations. He came to earth so he could die.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, then we'll move on. Have you heard of Islam? Allah will judge the infidels. Muhammad flew on a white horse. The rules are from 610 AD, but they try to follow them still, of course. Men can have a lot of wives. Women must be covered from head to toe. There's fasting, stoning, and a space rock. They kill anyone who burns their book.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, then we'll move on. There are other options. Gotta know what works for you. It's smart to learn before you choose. If you pick a religious view,
it's gotta make sense. It's gotta make sense.
Jews believe God speaks Hebrew. He cares what they do and say. He gets mad if they write his name or answer the phone on Saturday. He likes playing pranks on people. He told Abraham to kill his son. A savior will come, the dead will rise, then the world will be perfect till the end of time.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, then we'll move on. The next one's really wacky. Human bodies are packed with thetans. They had many past lives in space. Don't use science, use Dianetics. Get an E-meter and know your place. 75 million years ago, Lord Xenu put people on Earth, stuck an H-bomb in a volcano. Now he's trapped inside a mountain.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, then. We'll move on, but they get to meet Travolta. Well, why don't you tell us what does make sense then? Einstein made Cranky Pants.
I'm going to let you go listen to the end to watch this on YouTube. It's really cute. That doesn't make sense. Jonathan Hurley and Whitney Avalon, and I assume their child. It's really funny. It's worth seeing, so I really recommend it. And who am I? Who is the I that is doing all this recommending? That's what I would ask. This I, is it like a compilation of experiences and conditions, perceptions and discoveries integrated in some kind of substantive value system? Or is it a hodgepodge of dust particles that'll go back to being dispersed?
Whoa. What makes sense to you?
There's the question. It makes sense to me that we are and that we continue regardless of the body. What makes sense is like the first stage of a rocket. Think about it. We are just thrust into the finite in this conceptual apparatus, which is the self-conscious ego identity, blah, blah, blah. Basically told, okay, figure it out. It's like how I learned to swim. I told the lifeguard I wanted to swim. I was 4 years old at the pool. The next day, he took me down to the deep end and he threw me in.
Did you learn to swim?
I cried and I yelled and I swam. To a certain extent, that's been characteristic of my whole life, being thrown into circumstances that I know nothing about and learning as I do. And I could tell you story after story where that's been my path. That's just one of them.
Well, that makes sense for you.
Yeah, not to mention the day that I got, they gave me a rocket, my own rocket ship, and they put me in front of the controls, and they said, go ahead, fly it. I'm still working on that.
I hope so. My God, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever in terms of who you are.
What does make sense is that we're coming up against the nonsense time.
Ah.
Where we go into that different altered space of consciousness, we who are in sight out the naked truth.
Errol Strider and Rochelle Alicia Strider
are sponsored by Go Raw and Job One for Humanity. There you have it. So remember, it's your life. Take charge. So what I'd like to ask you, Rochelle, tonight is, what else do we need to remember?
We need to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Makes sense to me. That makes sense. Quickly, I want to do it one more time, and I'll put in, that makes sense. I said the wrong thing, okay? So let's go. I'm going to ask you the line. What do we have to remember, Rochelle?
We have to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Let me do it again when I have the music ready. Go ahead. What do we need to remember, Rochelle?
We have to remember that resistance is what we add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
That makes sense.